Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I got a text message from Curtis this morning about a Wordle. You want to get right into your Wordle of the morning?
It's surprising to me how basic questions, like, Ken, you're an intelligent guy. You have your flaws, but you're not dumb.
Thank you.
And so a word that we have used on this show ad nauseum, where you incorrectly defined it as the high point when indeed it is the low point.
Yes.
So, spoiler alert, is the New York Times Wordle today.
Oh, boy.
So that's what was the text. I was sitting, getting some, I got kicked out of the house. James said, go get me a bagel. And I was like, what in the world? But, you know, love Southie, $6 bagel with butter. Can't beat it.
He's learned from Jess well.
Yeah, it's a long day and a busy day. But we are off and running. And are you talking about the kicking out of the house part?
Yes.
But a beautiful day on Lansdowne Street here. Red Sox, rough loss last night, but big, big, big weekend coming up in South Florida as well as Fenway.
Well, I guess so. The Wordle is a spoiler alert, but the definition is the lowest point in the fortunes of a person or organization. This is the word you and I have bandied about quite a few times. But they're not there yet, right? Either the Red Sox nor the Patriots. However, you are right. Tough loss last night. I was here into the late hours of the evening, and the offense is so bad currently. I went upstairs to the booth, and Castig was in with the guys last night, and he came out and he said, this lineup stinks. And he is right. It's just, you look at Aaron Judge and the mammoth home run he launched early in that game off of Giolito.
Would you agree that he is underrated somehow?
Somehow he's both over and underrated.
But like, every time he's at the plate and the ball doesn't go 500 feet, I'm shocked. Like, he is just such a specimen. He's got a perfect swing.
And it is one of those guys, like, if you go to an NBA game, you see these guys up close in person, it blows you away. And you see Aaron Judge step to the plate, it's impressive. And you look at the Red Sox lineup, they are just fighting to hang on right now, and some of it is misfortune. If Roman Anthony were in there, that's big. If Willier Abreu was back, that's big. But some of it is still, I hate to go back to it, the mismanagement at the Devers deadline and the lack of, you know, some support for this team, because right now,
by the way, you want to check something?
Two weeks
ago, it was 1%. This morning, 19% chance for the San Francisco Giants to make the playoffs.
Oh, I thought you were going to say 19% chance of collapse for the Red Sox.
But that's what happens when you have a young team. When you have a young team, yep, you have guys that will either get injured or scuffle down the stretch. You needed a starter that would allow you to give Crochet the max amount of rest in between starts to ensure that he's good for the postseason. And you took a guy who's going to end up with 36 home runs and 130 RBI out of your lineup. You don't have another guy like Devers. And since the steroid era, what is the toughest commodity to find?
Well, I probably elite pitching, but home run pop would be second, I would think.
I feel like the Red Sox have been able to find elite pitching far easier than they've been able to find elite hitting.
I guess.
Like,
they found elite pitching.
If they had Schwarber and Devers, is there any doubt they'd be the World Series favorites right now?
Schwarber should be an MVP candidate. He probably is. I haven't really looked at the NL MVP race, but it's just 50 bombs?
Staggering. What a contract. This is the final year of that deal. You didn't want to do 4 years and 86 for that guy. Oh, my God in heaven.
It's tough. So everybody you wanted to lose last night won, basically. You have a 3-win lead over Texas in the loss column. That's the demarcation line of missing the postseason, but they've got the tiebreaker on you, so basically it's 2 games. Lou has been pumping this point on the social medias, and he's right. So you can't tie Texas, so you got to have one more win than they do, and right now it's getting close. And tonight, of course, you got another tough matchup with the Yankees, and you've got 3 against the Jays coming in. So not to be the doomsday guy, but they need Abreu back, and they need to absolutely take care of business against the A's and Tampa for the rest of the way here, and I'm not that confident that they're going to get in the way things are going. I really am not. I mean,
if they don't get in, it will be a 2011 style collapse. I don't think Crochet's too good. I really don't think. And Giolito even last night was fine.
No, he was pretty good.
I feel like
Judge Homer aside,
it's a the Red Sox were entering this series. I think they were 10-2. Or 10-3 against the Yankees?
8-2.
8-2.
8-2, yeah.
Right, so 3 games left, right. Yep. So they always end somewhere within a game or two. It's very infrequent that the Red Sox or Yankees take the season series 11-2, or back in the old days, 14-4, something like that. So the Yankees winning the series wouldn't surprise me. It's now 8-3.
8-3.
So, you know, obviously they're going to win the season series by a couple games no matter what happens, but they're not at all peaking at the right time.
Now, you don't really mean it's as bad as chicken and beer if they miss the
Oh, my
playoffs.
God, absolutely.
No. Come on.
If this team doesn't make the playoffs?
I am looking at the Fangraphs odds. They still have a 90% chance to make the postseason, 90.6.
Right. So
that's a pretty big collapse if that were to happen.
Well, but 2 days ago it was 97.
I know.
So, yes, it would be as bad.
Texas Rangers, 32% chance to make it.
And the Red Sox have the toughest schedule remaining of all those teams. Is that correct?
I haven't broken that down. We'll get Butch on later to do so. Tom, who's producing today, break that down. Who's got the toughest schedule left? But Texas could also catch Seattle and Houston, so it gets a little murky there. I mean, they could pass them and take the division lead. But, boy, I'm trying to put myself in that seat here a month from now. They've collapsed. They've missed the playoffs. I mean, Cora just yesterday was here at Fenway talking about he got two offers for people to buy his meal over at Legal Seafoods. Things are going pretty well. And it's amazing. You and I, their record on Friday is so erratic. We've done quite a few Saturday shows after Friday losses where you overreact, or I do, or we both do, in one dramatic way or the other. But last night just felt like it was a humbling loss last night based on the lineup you threw out there. You're right, Giolito looked pretty good. They're not a bad team overall. They've got my man, Baby Pedro, today, but he's going up against Max Fried, and then you need Crochet tomorrow. Huge Sunday night baseball here at Fenway. That place should be jumping for a Sunday night game on ESPN.
Yeah, and I think I said at the time that you will not feel the pain of the inactivity at the deadline in real time. It will come at the end of the year in September when your young players are not able to continue, whether it's Crochet or Roman Anthony or anybody else. And that's when it happens. And we all, you know, nobody celebrates more days in the wild card position like the Boston Red Sox and Greg and everybody else. But they had an opportunity. That's what's most frustrating is the American League is wide open. And if they make those deals, if they swallow some of the money with Devers, then this team is able to actually be a legitimate World Series contender. And right now, if the Red Sox and Yankees played a 5-game series, what would the odds be in that series?
Is Roman Anthony back?
No.
I mean, there is a chance he's back for the World Series, the ALCS.
Okay. No, he's not. Okay. So what's the odds of the series?
Well, they're 8-3 against them. That has to mean something. But Devers was huge in a lot of those games. They do play well at Yankee Stadium. That's encouraging. They did beat them the last time they met in the postseason. I would say 60% Yankees, 40% Red Sox. It's pretty tight.
But Yankees would be the favorite.
Yes, based on just the lineup alone. I mean, just the offensive potency of the lineup right now. So Give us your concerns levels on the Sox and the Pats, which I'm sure we'll be getting to here. 617-779-7937. We are broadcasting from the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio on Lansdowne Street, and it's brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and the New England edition of the Ford F-150, the official truck of the Red Sox. Greg got me sick, or allergies, or one of the two. He was complaining about this yesterday.
I had a sneezing fit yesterday, but I don't know whether it's pollen or the pennant fever. Maybe that's what it is. You and Greg are such diehard Sox fans.
I agree. And I got tickets for you Sunday, but you're on the fence.
I got to get to Gillette Stadium at 5 a.m. It's not fun.
I mean, the old days, you and I used to stay up until like midnight watching games, then be back up at 3.
Right. I have an Energizer bunny that I run after all day. I'm an old man with a boy that doesn't stop moving. So I do not have the same energy I once did, but, you know, I'm here, aren't I?
I'll bring James. James will come to the game.
I love it. Oh, you'll see two pitches. It'll be great.
Now, over to the Pats before we get to the calls here. Just the week in review. We have some audio to get to because Vrabel mentioned the morning show yesterday on the second to last question.
Yeah.
Do you feel like it's Mayo repeating itself through a couple weeks?
Identical.
It's unbelievable.
It really is.
And and he doesn't get near the criticism because he's Mike Vrabel. And we all have a baseline of respect or understanding or knowledge of him.
I was shocked. And I'm actually surprised that it didn't get, you know, the Belichick stuff went viral, but when I asked after a very long word salad question, which was my bad, but I followed up and I said, you know, do you believe that winning is the most important thing for Drake May? And that is such a layup. Of course, you know, he wants to be the best he can be. Instead, he said, I hope so, which is just a shocking. And the Josh McDaniel stuff, which is what led him to question the timing and blaming Stacey James, is, you know, clearly there is frustration between Vrabel and McDaniels.
I don't know that clearly. I guess there are signs, definitely.
So if you're Josh McDaniels and you hear that, do you think that you're being thrown under the bus?
When I hear what specifically, sorry?
About the run game.
The run game.
And the play calling and selecting the right plays.
Yes. I think you take that as a shot. I don't know that he would disagree, though.
Do you think that Mike Vrabel said, I want Josh McDaniels, or do you think Robert Kraft said, here's Josh McDaniels?
Well, that question was asked to Bill O'Brien, and Bill O'Brien told you this week, Bill hired me. So semantics, I guess, because I'm sure Vrabel called McDaniels.
Do you believe that Bill Belichick called Billy O and said, I really want you to get here. I hate Patricia?
I think he was told to do it, but he didn't mind because he likes Bill O'Brien.
I think that I love Bill O'Brien. You know it. I think there was an agreement. This is what we're going to say publicly. We gain nothing from engaging in that kind of a back and forth.
Yeah, it's definitely something to monitor. They need to win. Put some of that stuff to rest. So we'll be getting into that. We'll play some of the. If you have no idea what we're talking about, we'll play that audio for you here in just a bit on the Ken and Curtis Show here until noon today. Bradfo in at noon with the Baseball Isn't Boring program. We are all at Fenway today for the big Yankee series. Take your Yankees calls, your Yankees Red Sox calls on the way. But first, here is Tom and what's trending.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
It was only 442, Curtis. Not really that well hit. That thing was just to watch it from field level was just a soaring. That was like majestic and then some. That may have been the longest home run I've seen hit live in a couple years. And 442. Supposedly that Ted Williams seat is what, 502?
Of course it's not real.
Can you imagine 502?
No. There is 0.0% chance that ball landed there.
Yeah, maybe the balls were juiced back in those days.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Anyway, Yankees take it 4-1 last night. Not great. I do want to just push back, though. This is if they do collapse, which I don't rule out, 10% chance they don't make the playoffs officially by the odds. Texas is hot. They won 7 in a row. They're 3 back in the loss column, but they have the tiebreaker over you. You could theoretically miss the postseason if things don't go well and you sort of What would you say? They need to win at least 6, probably 8 games, the Red Sox, the rest of the way?
If they win 7, they're good.
Okay. Let's say they don't. This is not the reaction of the chicken and beer Red Sox where people are insanely outraged. There's still a encouragement for Roman and Meyer and all these guys, and the future is looking good. However,
Ken, what happened the last 3 years, or two, at least 2 years, but I think the last 3? The team was in contention at the trade deadline, 10-8-7, 5 games over 500 at the All-Star break.
Yes.
And then the wheels came off in the second half.
Right.
If this team poops its pants, then Alex Cora will be front and center no matter what anybody else tries to say.
He's got excuses.
Oh, yeah, God knows he'll use them, and so will Bradfo. But the truth is, if this team doesn't make the playoffs, that is a historic collapse.
But then you'll say, at least they were 17-7 in July, they were 7-11 in August.
Why would anybody say that? Why would that be relevant to anything?
Well, I can hear it now, because it's you made it longer before the collapse, so you've improved. It's a better collapse.
So like Uta Pippig pooping herself at the after Heartbreak Hills better than in Wellesley?
It's a little early for the poop references here.
Well, I live in poop.
Let's clean this program up and go to Sorja at Mansfield talking Sox on the phone lines. Good morning, Sorja.
Good morning, Ken and Curtis. How are you today?
We're great. How are you?
Doing well. So you guys probably hear this on the morning show constantly where it's like, oh, you guys were on the Red Sox last week. What happened this week? Oh, you are now down on the Red Sox. That's this team. It's like I just can't get it out of my system where they'll win 7-8 in a row, and then the offense, like last night, can't buy a hit. And I just look into this. Since Roman Anthony's injury, in that time, they're 2-3. They've actually not hit a home run in that stretch, the only team to do so. And I think this is actually causing a lot of issues.
They did hit one last night. They had a bomb last night from Eaton. But anyway.
All right, perfect. So that broke the stretch. And my thing is that I think Roman Anthony's injury is going to play a huge role because I think he was really comfortable leading off. I don't know if Duran will be comfortable leading off. And I just – the thing that really pisses me off about this team is we don't need it where you hit one run today and let's say tonight they have 13 runs. Unfortunately, I don't think we're going to get that middle balance that we've been looking for. But kind of looking ahead a little bit, there's a lot of notable free agents this year, and if somehow the Red Sox front office is able to bring back Kyle from Waltham and Bregman, I'll forgive them for everything else. You guys have a great rest of your weekend.
That's true, Sorja. That's true, Curtis. They could fix the collapse by signing Kyle from Waltham back.
Well, that would be stupid to now sign him at the top of his market as the decline is about to arrive.
I'll take it. Better late than never.
It's really not. That would be dumb.
I mean, he's hit 50 home runs. I think he's going to have a good year next year.
Okay. I mean, I love Kyle Schwarber, but that would be the opposite of what the Red Sox are trying to do. That would show that they didn't have any plan whatsoever if they all of a sudden acquiesce and give him a big deal 4 years after they should have.
But that's what they do. That's what John Henry does. They always flip-flop.
No, they didn't. When they brought in Chris Sale, he wasn't 40. When they brought in David Price, he was 30. They don't go after guys and pay them at the top of the market at the end of their career. Who have they done that with?
Well, Bregman.
Bregman's 31 years old.
Okay, how old is Schwarber?
Not 31.
Okay, he's a little bit older. 32. So it would be a Bregman-esque
sign. Why does he turn 33?
I just clicked off that. I'll look it up.
Okay. If they want to give Schwarber a 5-year deal, I'm all for it.
March 5th.
Oh, all right. Yeah, so he'll be 33 entering.
He'll be 33 next year. Yeah, they would have to do a similar Bregman deal, big money for short term with opt-outs and hope that he comes.
And wasn't Bregman 30 when they signed him?
That could be true.
So, three-year difference.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. They don't do that often. That point is well taken. However, the lineup is erratic. You hope tonight against, now, Max Fried, they've beat Fried twice head-to-head. Silver lining, Curtis. Bayo v. Fried. We have seen this twice already. I think it was a 2-0 win and a 1-0 win. They haven't scored a run off Fried yet. Maybe they scored one. But they've won both games, so that you got that going for you, which is nice. Let's go to Johnny Cakes in Saugus. Hello, Johnny Cakes.
He's going to lose his job.
Johnny Cakes.
What's up, boys?
How are you?
Hey, have a great day.
You too.
Drive through.
Sure. Yo, hey, guys.
Hi.
Sorry about that, boys. Johnny Cakes here.
Yeah.
Got it.
Curtis, what do you got?
I wanted to ask, was it Bloom that didn't pull the trigger on Schwarber?
Well, it was really Sam Kennedy. I mean, Bloom didn't call him.
Nope, that was Bloom. Bloom said, basically, he did not hit for enough average. He was asked in enough times and answered enough ways. They thought he did not hit for high enough average to make it worth the money.
You made a great point on that, because, I mean, $80 million sounds like a lot to us, but that really wasn't very much. They could have really needed him over the last 4 years. Ridiculous.
You could make the argument, Johnny, in terms of free agent signing. So not giving, you know, not like a Roman Anthony style deal. A guy hits free agency. The 4-year deal the Phillies gave Kyle Schwarber may be one of the best free agent signings in the history of Major League Baseball, given what they paid and what they got. Like, it's unbelievable. It really is.
One last thing, Chris. Mm-hmm. Enjoy all these days chasing that Energizer bunny around, because before you know it, he's going to be 22. Yeah. Love you guys.
I do. I love it.
What a depressing morning. James is 22 already, and the Red Sox will collapse.
No, he's. I mean, he reads better than most 22-year-olds. But
Pats are going to win, though. You are predicting that very strongly.
The Pats. So there's. I haven't been following the. Who's playing today? I know BC plays at midnight. Brilliant ACC
Stanford,
player.
Yeah. The only games today of note are the SEC games. They play each other.
Oh, Georgia, Tennessee.
Yeah.
So tomorrow, I don't know how or why, the Chiefs are winning. Take it to whatever bank.
I don't like your NFL picks. Your NFL record's not good. Your college record, impeccable.
Okay, well, in the NFL, the biggest pick ever, you picked the guy that was losing, and now he's being led around by a walker in North Carolina.
I picked Baby Pedro, though. I'm riding my pony today.
We just were going to. If you want to talk about the NFL, the biggest question of our time,
I predicted Brady was going to leave. I was 100% right.
Right, and you thought the Patriots won.
And I reported Gronk was getting traded.
That was me. I tweeted it, and then Florio said, "You're like the poop on my shoe." Remember that meeting?
We had a lot of meetings.
Those were great. But
in the Super Bowl rematch, you got Chiefs over Eagles.
I mean, if the Chiefs go to 0-2. There's no way they can't. It makes
0-2 doesn't matter as much anymore.
Here's why: the Chiefs need that bye. If they're 0-2, they're not getting it. Also, to me,
why? Who wins the division?
Well, the bye is the best record in the AFC. They won't have the best record.
Okay.
But the Eagles are a far better team. Jalen Hurts may be the most underrated player in the NFL. The guy just won a Super Bowl. And we don't talk about him at all. I asked this to Costos yesterday about Mahomes. Like, if you look at Mahomes the last two seasons, he has been average. Obviously, they've won Super Bowls. He's still, in my view, he's the best player of his generation, all that. But the Chiefs continue to have all positive coverage, which is so opposite. Like, I know it's a honkish take, but if Brady, you know, peed sideways, it led first take. Like, Patrick Mahomes is one of the wasn't even in the top 10 in passer rating or touchdowns for two consecutive years. Had an awful Super Bowl, the worst Super Bowl I've ever seen, and it's like no conversation. But no matter what happens, 4:25 tomorrow afternoon, Tom Brady will be on the call, and the Chiefs will beat the Eagles. I don't know how, I don't know why, but they will.
Chiefs had they were too tough on their own PA announcer that he resigned before the home opener.
What?
They were telling him like he was too flamboyant in his calls or something, so he just
the PA or the radio?
The PA announcer, like the in-stadium PA guy.
What? How could you be too flamboyant?
I don't know. I'm reading his quotes now. He said, for over a decade, the third down call I started doing as an answer to the league warning me about cheerleading became a signature of game day. Many referred to me as the third down guy.
Oh, what a loser.
And then now, I don't know, they're trying to make him change. He's like, I'm not having it. So the Chiefs are in disarray. The PA guy retired.
What in the world?
I'm just telling you, they're not. It's things are coming apart at the seams there at Arrowhead.
But Andy Reid's son still has a job, but the PA guy got fired.
He wanted me to experiment with different calls, and he wouldn't have it. Good for this guy.
All right. What is he? I don't understand the third down guy. So he's like, get loud.
Yeah, you know how it's another Patriots first down. That kind of that guy for the Chiefs. Dale Carter has resigned.
One of the big
16 years and he's out.
One of the big frustrations I had, and it's often that I'll say something and then there's an echo in the afternoon across the street. But I watching the Patriots at the game last Sunday, it just was so frustrating that yet again it's a chore to watch this team play. There's no fluidity. At no point do you feel comfortable.
Wait, Pats or Red Sox?
The Pats.
Okay.
Last Sunday at Gillette. Yeah. It was dead as a doornail in there. I know.
You were among royalty in there.
I'm talking about observing the common folk from my palatial suite.
You were chopping it up with Robin Glazer last week.
I was. What does that have to do with anything?
Well, how was it boring? Like you were
the game. How was it boring? Did you watch the game?
I did watch the game.
It was an awful football game. It was horrific.
I thought Booty looked good.
Do you just disagree with me for
yes,
fun?
Yes, like, yes.
Did you think it was a good game?
People have to push back against your nonsense.
Did you think it was aesthetically pleasing?
A one-score game.
So you thought it was an enjoyable, fun football game to watch?
Classic week one. Both teams rusty. I'm not worried about it.
Okay. Of all the decisions Mike Vrabel has made, mm-hmm. the four series in the preseason for Drake May is the dumbest. And watching that last weekend, I just fed up watching a product that's beneath the
last weekend was the preseason. They are forced to do this because of what the NFL has done. The season is too long. They can't risk guys getting hurt in the preseason. That doesn't matter. So now week one is preseason. The season starts tomorrow. That's the way I look at it. Honestly, I really don't care that they lost last week. Tomorrow is the opener.
So you don't think that we could look back and say that if they had just beaten the Raiders, they're a playoff team?
I don't foresee that happening. I mean, even if it does, I'm sure there are 100 other games that they would have dropped between now and then that are more relevant to what the situation is.
I don't know. I watch it in the way that everybody, including the people in that organization, have anointed Drake May as the second coming before doing anything is frustrating. And the totally predictable, lame take from Shime that it's all Josh McDaniels.
Everybody could see that coming.
If you have a transcendent quarterback, by definition, they transcend those around them to get to where they need to be. And I'm not saying Drake May isn't that, but watching that game, 7 points felt like 70, did it not? Like, did you really ever think in the third, fourth quarter that the Patriots are going to come back and win that game?
I mean, they were up at half, so I guess I gave them a puncher's chance. But
I'm talking about when they were down seven.
And once they punted, it was over.
Yeah. And that was an awful fourth and five. You're going for it. Fourth and 10, you punt 20 yards.
No, don't get me wrong. I'm not sold on any element of this team as being good. I'm just not out on anybody yet. But I do think the Vrabel stuff reminds you of Mayo a little bit. And maybe it's just, again, another guy just trying to figure it out, put it together his first time back in this role. But we should play this audio. So, Tom, I don't know if you have the setup to this or just the cut from yesterday, but you guys on the Greg Hill Show have Vrabel on every Monday, 6:30. And was it Courtney's question about the run game where he worked this clip in, Curtis? I think it was toward the end of the interview.
I'm not sure. I don't know. I saw the question. So the question...
Where Vrabel basically critiqued McDaniels in the run game, in a manner of speaking, right?
Right.
Tom, do you have that clip or do you want to go
ahead? Yeah, it's the Wiggy question.
Okay, Wiggy asked it. So let's listen to that first.
Well, you talk about the run game and wanting to get more out of it. What do you think kind of took away from that? Because the score was relatively close. Do you feel like it was maybe you just got to stay after it more? Do you feel like you
kind of
leaned on the
pass a
little
bit? Yeah, I think the better that we are able to move it and not just gain a yard or two. I mean, I think that you have to have a flow. I mean, you got to see some space. You know, you got to give the runner some space, and you have to be able to move the line of scrimmage. And, you know, they play a defense, and there's a guy in every gap. And you don't move them or you don't create some space, there's not going to be much. There's going to be a wall. So, you know, we had a couple glimpses and they were moving, and but when they move, we got to take advantage of that as well and try to come off and climb to the second level. So we'll need a more consistent and just fine-tuned run plan that we believe in, and quit worrying about some things like, you know, hey, they're in this
front.
Okay,
so you could cut it there, Tom. And everything up to that point where he said we need a more fine-tuned run plan was totally fine and understandable, right? Nobody would have argued that.
No.
So he just kind of worked that in, and that was what, of course, the media clips and ran with. Oh, they need a better run plan, more fine-tuned. So is that a criticism of McDaniel? So then yesterday at the press conference, he was asked a follow-up question about that clip, and here's what Vrabel had to say.
Mike, you had a quote this week on radio where you said we'll need a more consistent and fine-tuned run plan that we believe in. That got me wondering, could you give the Cliff Notes version on how you guys game plan?
Yeah, I mean, I think...
Do you have proof?
No. I mean, again, this is... And I know that doing a radio show at 6:30 on Monday morning after a loss is probably going to come back to haunt me, and it's going to get picked apart. And so I'll do my best to try to explain that after a week. But, you know, that's the position, and we can all look over at Stacy. But I get it. I'll be there every morning, Monday, 6:30.
So, I mean, it's funny, but it's basically Mayo walking it back.
Right.
Right? I mean, is there any other way to just call it like it is?
If that's Mayo and everything is the same except the delivery, he's getting absolutely barbecued. And Bedard, you could say on WEEI, you could be a little.
He won't say that.
But did you see this?
You do. Tara Sullivan won't.
Tara Sullivan. What a joke.
Morning interview.
What does that even mean? Morning interview. Is there anybody at that newspaper that does anything but lick the boots of Elizabeth Warren? But either way, that was a frustrating. It's revealing, and what really it boils down to, Belichick was able to be terse because they won, and that created a bubble where there was really this total and complete void of difficult questions.
Yeah.
Because those that asked the penetrating question were judged and mocked by the fan base. Now the fans want to understand the plan because they have yet to see it enacted on the field. And what made Mayo's job so hard is that not only did he have to be facing tough questions, he had to answer for decisions he didn't make.
Right.
He had to answer for why Jacoby Brissett was starting week one and not Drake May, even though he told Greg that Drake May won the job. And so,
and he was also misled about the cash.
And Mike Vrabel, my guess, first choice was not Josh McDaniels to be his offensive coordinator.
Who do you think his first choice was, though?
Downing, the wide receivers coach? Honestly, I don't know. I don't know enough about staffing in the NFL to answer that honestly or with a informed opinion. But I would say Mike Vrabel's being questioned about the game plan. The offense runs three plays in the second half. They throw 46 times. Mm-hmm. They lose a game they should have won in their season opener. And he's asked about the run plan, and he's like, well, got to ask Josh, because Josh isn't his guy.
Right.
And so everybody begins creating their own space and establishing their P corner because they're trying to protect their job ahead of whatever is best for the team. And that's why there is this cycle of suck in organizations that right now we're in the middle of the spin, right? We're in the spin cycle.
Yeah.
And you don't know until you're going to get out, until the clothes actually are clean and you see them on you.
Well, again, he could have answered that. I think he tries to be glib and funny, and that was, and we love it because that clip's going to last for a long time. You
Absolutely.
Know, of course, Greg will ask him about it on Monday. So he's poking fun at the interview and trying to make light of it. But don't you agree? Vrabel could have taken a different approach there and said, "Yeah, I said that, and that's what we need to do. We need to fine tune the run game." Like nobody would. Would you have a problem if he said, "Josh and I are getting together this week and we're fixing the run game"?
The simple answer is obviously three run plays in the second half of a game we were leading at halftime is inexcusable. It's on me, and I'm going to work with Josh to figure this out. Done.
Right.
Move on.
Instead, it was either an attempt to be funny, which then creates questions, or it was he's actually pissed at McDaniels.
Right.
And he didn't want that to get out.
And it's your email about question technique that led to Wiggy to ask that question.
I'll take a little credit. I'll take a slice of credit. Good job, Wiggs.
There you go.
Jay Wiggs always bringing it, as he will the three keys tomorrow. By the way, we mentioned the Super Bowl rematch tomorrow. That game can be heard on AM 850 tomorrow. So if you're driving around, want to listen to Chiefs-Eagles, 4 o'clock game after the Pats are done, you can put that one on up against Six Rings post game as well. Hart and Fitzy will be breaking it down after the game tomorrow. Now, I want to ask you about that. Must win. That's been one of the big catchphrases this week. Does Curtis think the Patriots game tomorrow is a must-win game? We will ask him, get his answer on that next year.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Kenny Curtis.
Do you agree with Wiggy? Must win?
No, I don't know. I mean, again, I like to think that they're all
everyone's a must win.
Right. If you look at it like that, you know, that we'd only get so many opportunities. And we only get so many opportunities to win and continue to improve. It is a must improve week.
All right, that's a good Vrabel answer. Queued up by Curtis. You asked him the tough, is it a must win this week? And he said it's a must improve week. Perfect answer. He's absolutely right. Not a must win. They just need to show signs of improvement, specifically Drake May. That's all people care about is Drake May.
So if they're 0-3, you think people are patient?
I think ratings will suffer. However, I don't really think it changes the whole season's trajectory. By the end of it, all that matters is Drake has improved and the team is in a better place than they were when it started.
So there is a formula that I have sort of begun to understand, which is time/winning. In order to, so there's a certain amount of time that you have.
Writing this down.
To find, so when a new coach arrives and is implementing a new system.
Yep.
That coach has a certain amount of time.
Shelf life.
That you need to see performance meet the new messaging.
Okay.
So it's time plus wins or divided by or whatever you want to do.
You haven't thought this through.
No, but it basically, it's you have to win in a certain amount of time in order for that coach to find success, that that person has shelf life to be there and see it through. There's a certain prerequisite of games that you must be good or show improvement in. Like the Parcells year, right? So they ended the, I think his second season, no, his first season, they went 3-13 or 4-12. They ended the year with 4 straight wins. And you could clearly see momentum going into year two where they went 10-6, ultimately lost to Bill Belichick and the Browns in the first round.
Like Mayo ended with a win.
Right.
Went out with a bang. So went out with a bang.
You have to find a way to get players on, like even the second half. Remember when Dan Campbell was a punchline when Mac Jones or Bailey Zappi? Did Bailey Zappi beat the Lions at Gillette? A couple years ago, the Lions were listless. It was a 1 o'clock game. The Patriots just dominated. They won by like 30 points against them. And at that point, the Lions were still the Lions. And after the game, Dan Campbell was basically like, I don't know, maybe I have to change. Like, he looked defeated.
Yeah.
And in the second half of that season, the Lions won 5 in a row, or they ended with a bang, and they set the foundation for the next year where Jared Goff and Campbell and Aiden Hutchinson and those guys were able to really...
Good memory. This was week 5, 2022. Bailey Zappi, the winner over Jared Goff.
And what was the score?
29 zip.
So they win by 30 points. And after that game, we all thought Dan Campbell was dead man walking. And now he's, you know, the toast of the town, biting kneecaps and going to the AFC Championship. So it's, you need to get to that point. And when it's darkest is usually, like, so in that moment, there's nobody that was in Detroit here or anywhere that thought Dan Campbell was the right guy to be the coach of the Lions. it looked like yet another failed hire, a guy that was just this braggadocious moron. And now he's the toast of the town. But you have
that was his second year.
Right. So in year two, they were what at that point when they lost to the Patriots?
They finished 9-8, and that year they were, the Lions would have fallen to 1-4 and right. had a bye week.
So
actually they dropped to 1-6 before they started to win.
Right. So they were 1-4 here. They went to 1-6 and they ended the year with eight wins.
Yep.
So that's sort of, I don't know exactly the timeline of it. Obviously.
There you go. So not a must win.
I mean, for this season, the other thing for this season is that you have Drake May. And if the season's over, as in terms of pursuing a playoff spot, don't we look at the stats differently? Like this game this Sunday
yep.
is a huge win if you want to be contenders in the AFC.
Yep.
So if you lose, and then in the back end of the year you have three wins against, you know, bad opponents in a season that's over, I don't think you get the same read on what Drake May truly is, which is why this second half of the season, it sucks that Roman Anthony got hurt, because at the bare minimum, you were going to give him at-bats in a pennant race on the Saturday night game against the Yankees at Fenway in September.
Yeah, you're right. So you'd rather them go win one, lose one, than go 1-6 like the 2022 Lions right. and then surge at the end.
Right, because I don't know how – I mean, obviously that you can look at the Patriots in 93 and the Lions in 22 as teams that ended on an upswing and then that coach was able to carry it forward. You really need to know, and I know there was a viral video of Brady on Cowherd this week about how long quarterbacks have. Cowherd said that he basically gives quarterbacks now until Thanksgiving in their second year to yep. know if they're going to be good or not.
Yep.
You're not going to know that with Drake May at Thanksgiving, I don't think. I think, you know, he's...
No.
If he was great, you would see it. You would understand it by now. And the thing
would
that...
Would you agree that his mechanics are still... I'm not like a quarterback... mechanics guy, but there's just some... this was Merrill Hodge's criticism of him, and Merrill's been wrong about a lot of things, but he said he's not accurate. He needs to fix his mechanics. Look at his throws. I think last week he did complete like 65% of his passes, so it wasn't horrible, but he's got a handful of awful throws in every game he plays, right, where he just misses an open receiver, and that's not going to get fixed during the year, right?
No, I think my biggest thing with Drake May is I don't sense... this urgent need to be great and win. I don't know. I don't. I know. You know. Some people. Andrew Callahan was miffed that I asked Mike Vrabel about the winning portion of this, and that clearly he wants to win. Like, okay, I think everybody wants to win, but for some people, it's the only thing that matters. Mm-hmm. And I'm nervous about the losing culture permeating players. And I don't think Drake May has earned his spot as a leader on this team yet.
Well, you know I didn't like the Joe Milton trade, but I don't want to get back into that.
But would you agree?
But I agree.
Especially an organization that foundational approach to building a roster was that nobody was different.
Right.
To have Drake May be the captain, missed the entire preseason. He did nothing. He had an awful interception, yeah. missed wide open guys in the preseason, and it's like, oh, we'll sit him in the third game, and he'll be ready to go week one.
Right. Like today, we have two producers. Tom's producing. Young Jason is in there. But we're not going to let Jason trend today. It'll be next week. Tom's right. got the keys. He's going to give him the keys next week.
Right. And, you know, when I had the keys, there were a lot of people that jumped and dove.
I don't want to get in your car ever again.
Oh, that's all right. You're not welcome.
978 texter. Dan Campbell's going to be tough to watch this year with Ben Johnson gone, which stinks because they were fun to watch. There's an element of that, too. Maybe Ben Johnson was a key, although the Bears didn't have a great first week either. But the Lions just ran into Green Bay, and that team, it looks like all of a sudden a Super Bowl favorite.
And I feel like we did the poll on the Greg Hill Show. I think it was 50-50. Are you concerned about Drake May? That is a staggeringly high number.
Yeah, it is. Let's get into a little bit of that. But also Red Sox. We got some Sox calls on the line. Are you concerned about the collapse? Could it happen? If it does, would it be as bad as chicken and beer collapse or other collapses of years past? I don't think so. But Curtis does. One loss last night. Baby Pedro today. But it's a big one here at Fenway Park.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.